Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live Seneca series. And this is the introduction to the ebook series, where we take Reverend Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi's doctoral dissertation and we attempt to methodically go through it as Father has summarized the Book of Heaven and then drives us into the volumes so that Jesus can explain it in detail to us through our vernacular and also in the end, through the language of heaven. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. And I'm going to bring that up now. And in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. The School of Mary, invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and love in the spirit of our live in the spirit of our vocation more and more. The spirit of faith, hope, and love. The spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God. The spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility. The spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. And last, I wanted to just drop this to the end. We thank you, Most Holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just a blessing to come together. Grateful to have awakened today, physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. We talked about the divine will being a cog, and Jesus actually speaks about it too in Volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. I highly recommend you read that, please. Again, just simply try to explain it. God is the cog. He is the power. He's the motor. He's the mechanism. He is the all. And what he's doing now, and we're actually going to witness this evening with the passage that's on the agenda. He's taking a small group. He says a small group. He uses those words small. And he's bringing them closer to him, in essence, than really ever before. He's bringing this group together to engage with him, to be the cog to the cock, master cog to the little cock. And in doing this, he's allowing us to understand, learn, appreciate, love, and adore his interior life. We learned about his exterior life and his humanity when he came on earth. And now the Book of Heaven is taking us deep inside the Holy Trinity. And with the passage we're going to share, the footnote we're going to share this evening, we're actually going to witness God explaining in a certain part why he hasn't given up on us, what he desires of us. I mean, he deserves everything from us and beyond because everything is given to us. But what does he desire? What does he really want? And why does he want it? I think we're going to understand a little bit with the passage we're going through, the footnote we're going to share this evening. Okay, so again, Volume 16, February 2nd, 1924, will explain the cog in much, much better detail than I just did. We talked about the divine will. You know, it starts off as if we're in a foggy evening. We can see very little. And as we journey, as we have the courage to take a step forward, it opens up slightly. And then as we take the first step, we take the second step. And that's really sort of our progression or our transition into this mystical life. And now I think as the lights are beginning to come on, because Jesus says every time we read, we listen, we meditate on his writings, he's shining a light, a divine light is coming. And that light multiplies into additional lights. And before you know it, these are all fog lights. So before you know it, the view is getting clearer. We're beginning to see what's in front of us. And I think that's where we all are. So we've been on this this summary by Father Iannuzzi 5.3, 7.1.1. And we're going to be getting, we actually just finished the footnote number 271. So we're going to begin with footnote number 272. But just to bring us up to speed, if I may, let me just bring the pointer out here so I can remember where I am. So this is the elaborations of P.G. Renzi's. Noteworthy is P.G. Renzi's application of the maximum divinization to lives, human and divine, natures, I should say, that is realized in man, and that is unattainable by man's efforts, as it is God's pure favor. Nothing we can do can earn this gift. Nothing we can do to receive this gift without God giving it to us gratuitously. There's nothing we can do outside of God to receive this. So really, we have to be very thankful that we've received this, in essence, this mystical gift of gifts, which it is. In presenting Maximus's preliminary stage of man's potential being, again, we haven't reached our potential yet, that is situated in the mind of God, to the stage of his created being that occurs in the act of creation, P.G. Renzi's lays the foundation for Maximus's final stage of man's transformation, which we're in now, of being into eternal being that occurs with the consent of his free will. This transformation is an act of pure grace. It's a pure gift that culminates in divinization and establishes the continuous link of man's temporal being with God's eternal being, the fusion completely. Similarly, Luis affirms that God's gratuitous gift of living in the divine will empowers man to continuously cooperate with his eternal being that transcends man's finite and temporal being. This gift is realized by virtue of God's great, unheard of, and long chain of graces. And we spent weeks on those three that impart to the soul continuous growth. We covered that last week, whereby the acts of man's finite being are absorbed, raised, and transformed by the operation of God's eternal being. I think we'll just stop there. So the absorption. I remember Jesus in the volume says, you know, the fling. We have to fling what we're learning. Daniel O'Connor uses that word, to fling. And now we're learning on when we fling, what sticks. What is God? How is God assisting us in learning his divine will? How is he working with us hand by hand, finger by finger, to be able to go through methodically everything that he's given to us and to complete this final stage of man's transformation of being into eternal being? So again, whereby the acts of man's finite being are absorbed. And that's the key word here, I think, for footnote number 272, as Father brings us into it. No one's getting dizzy by this. Okay. So we covered a lot last week as well. Okay. So I also cut just the part of the summary of Father Nuzzi and placed it on top just so we can refer to it it's hard, you know, jockeying, you know, from the beginning of the document to the end of the document and trying to remember what we're reading. So this is footnote number 272 that Father Nuzzi has selected to further explain and corroborate, substantiate his summary. And this comes from volume 29, June 30th, 1931. It's entitled, How the Creation Manifests the Divine Paternity, and how God feels himself father of those who recognize him in his works. Very important. How the creation manifests the divine paternity, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, and how God himself feels for those who recognize him in his works. Again, we're going to find out, what is he looking for? What does he expect from us? What can we do to please God? So this begins, I was doing my round in the creation to follow the acts done in it by the divine will. Again, these are the rounds that we have. They're available on many websites, including ours, queenofthedivinewill.org. And it's on the page entitled Divine Will Resource Library. Continuing, It seemed to me that in each created thing, the adorable Will was present as noble queen, as center of life, to make in each thing its sweet encounter with the creatures. But only those who recognize it in each created thing received this encounter. Take a pause there. I think this beginning of this passage, I think, helps us to understand how is it that you can mention Louisa Picaretta, you can mention the gift of living the divine will, you can read a passage to 10 people, and maybe one would have interest in moving forward or going deeper in what they heard. They all heard the same. It was all presented in the same format. Why so few recognize what's here? And that's exactly the word he uses. Let's repeat that again. It seemed to me that in each created thing, the adorable Will was present and noble as noble queen. Everything in creation was created as a reminder of God and of what he's done for man, because all of creation was created for us. Again, as a reminder and as use, pleasure, satisfaction, beauty. But only those who recognize it in each created thing receive this encounter. So we're learning as we do our preventing act in the morning. We ask to be fused with God. And we know if we're in a state of grace and we have a desire for this, it could happen at any moment. We actually expect it to happen, especially on loan. But when we make our rounds, when we read the rounds that are written, that were dictated to Louisa, which are beautiful. And then when we have our impromptu rounds, whenever we are, wherever we are, whatever we're doing, there's something that reminds us of God. Right now, I'm looking out the window and I see the beautiful trees. I see the blue sky. I see the fluffy clouds. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful scenery. Nobody can paint anything as vibrant as what I'm looking at right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing this for me. Thank you for allowing me to wake up this morning. Thank you for the spiritual awakening that we're hopefully receiving now through your words. So we can do this constantly. And when we do it, when we really mean it, which I'm sure we all do, we recognize it. We recognize it as something other than just a tree or just a cloud or just a blue sky. And then God reciprocates and gives us that divine encounter. That's really beautiful. Again, that's a mystical gift that's not given to all. It's given by God to whomever he pleases, when he pleases, to what extent he pleases. So we should be so grateful among everything else that we're grateful for, grateful that we have received this mystical gift to recognize, to be able to grab our attention, to fester desire to know more. And of course, as we know more of God, we love him more. And the more we love him, of course, the more we want to serve him. And we find out through the book of heaven that the greatest way to serve God and the greatest way to please God is to voluntarily subdue or make subservient our human will and grasp, hold on to, and live in God's most holy divine will, which is the way we were supposed to live from the beginning. That's the original plan. It's all going back. That was just stunning to me. But only those who recognize it in each created thing receive this encounter. We can receive that encounter multiple times, every hour, every day. And it just gets greater. It just gets larger as our capacity is enlarged by God to receive it. Again, he opens up those voids in our hearts, in our souls. And these are the good voids. These are the spaces in which we can put and place God, all that we know of God, all that we know and love of God. And we do it through all of creation. We're expected to do that. God is waiting for that. So that's one thing we learned for sure. In this happy encounter, when we recognize, of course, The correspondences open on both sides. Again, the communication happens, a divine communication in essence, because God is taking the lead. Only He can initiate a divine conversation. They celebrate together, and the divine will gives the creatures and gives, and the creature receives. I messed that up. They celebrate together, and the divine will gives, and the creature receives. So to make this communion, to make this correspondence, to make this connection on both sides, they have to meet. It's similar to like an electrical current. You have a light and you plug it in, and you've fused with the electricity, but you haven't optimized it yet. You haven't articulated it yet. You haven't initiated it yet. When we turn the light on, that begins to flow. So God is waiting for this connection so that everything can be passed. Again, this is all mystical. It's all spiritual. It's all underwater, underground. It's like underground utilities. There's no telephone poles. I mean, there's no utility poles. There's no wires overhead. This is all underground. Nobody can go by and snip a wire. Nobody can stop what God is wanting to do in each and every one of us. The only one that can stop this or prevent this from happening is us. Either voluntarily or involuntarily. So this connection, just like electricity, must be made. The two must be, the correspondence must be made. Both sides must come together. God has always been there. We left the table. We're the ones that disconnected. Well, Adam did, and of course, that was passed down to each and every one of us. But while my, again, this is Louisa speaking, but while my mind wandered by going around in the created things, my highest good, Jesus told me, my daughter, all creation manifests the divine paternity, the power, the love, the harmony of He, of God who created it. But do you know of whom do we feel ourselves father? This is where God's going to explain to us. Again, metaphorically speaking, but how does He feel like a father? He's trying to explain. He's trying to bring Himself down to our level to explain to us on our terms so that we can understand it. And then He takes us back up again to Him. Because again, on His level, through the language of heaven, we have an explosion of understanding. And that's where the infinite knowledges begin. And again, we talk about this on Radio Maria. We're going to be in kindergarten of the divine will for the rest of our lives. And it's good because we learn a lot of really good things in kindergarten. In fact, there was a book written, I think, once, everything I needed to know in life, I learned in kindergarten. It's true. We learn how to share. We learn that there's a superior or somebody that deserves respect outside of our mother and father. There's another authority. We learn how to play nice. We recognize that there are people that look like us, some that don't look like us. We know how to play nice. So we learn how to play nice. We learn how to clean up after each other. All the important things. All the important things to learn then. So we're going to do the same thing here with the kindergarten, I think. That's beautiful. Okay, so where were we at? But you know of whom do we feel ourselves father? Of one who remembers and recognizes all creation as property of her creator. We just talked about that. When we make that round, that impromptu round, Lord, thank you for that beautiful sky. You gave that to me. You created that for us so that the sun may reflect off it and make it even a more vibrant blue and color the oceans and tint the earth. Thank you, Lord. It's you who did it. Sky just didn't appear. It's you making known the Creator. Remembering the Creator, the Giver. Wanting to manifest His paternity toward the creatures, created so many beautiful things for love of them. Again, everything in creation. Why was it created first? put in place. So the moment Adam took his breath and said, "Thank you, my Lord, my God, the author of my life," he was able to see everything around him and give glory and honor to God on the level of God due to God. We can still see that beauty. We can still recognize it. But outside the divine will, we cannot give that love, glory, and adoration to God on the level of God, due to God. That can only be done through and in and with the divine will. And that's why God's taking us there. So that that connection that he just talked about, that correspondence can occur. It takes two sides for this to work. God's always been there. We're the ones that left, and now we're coming back. We're moving forward, going back. I love that analogy. It's confusing, but yet it makes so much sense. So one who recognizes them in order to requite him by loving him and thanking him draws closer around her celestial father as a daughter who recognizes his goods. And that if he created them, it means that he wants his daughter to possess his possessions within the possessions of her father. Let me repeat that. So one who recognizes them in order to requite him by loving him and thanking him draws closer around her celestial father as a daughter who recognizes his goods, and that if he created them, it means that he wants his daughter to possess his possessions within the possessions of her father. If you knew what our joy and happiness is in feeling ourselves father and in seeing our children close around us by means of our creative things. Again, the attributes of God, the likeness of God, most of all, has to be in each and every one of us, especially when it comes to parenting. And God is giving us an example of what it takes to be a father. And when we say a father, we're also including being a mother. God embraces his children. He has patience with his children. But he's not afraid to use tough love with his children. Same for us. Again, this discipline, I think, has been watered down over the decades recently. I don't think that care, that love, that that cohesiveness is as vibrant as it used to be. So we're drifting further away, not drifting closer like we should be. But God's going to take us back. He's going to stop that drift in our place and start moving us again upstream like salmon. He's going to take us. He wants to give us everything. If you knew what our joy and happiness is in feeling ourselves father and in seeing our children close around us by means of our creative things. So the creature, by remembering and recognizing what God has done for her, loves us as her father, as we love her as our daughter. Could it be that simple? What a great, it's not even a hint. It's a mystery. It's a secret. Remember, Our Lady, when we hear the word secret, a lot of times we think of nefarious situations, you know, you're holding back information. But Our Lady states in the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom, I'm going to try to get this as accurate as I can. A secret is a need of the heart that is given to only those who are disposed to receive them. That's Our Lady's explanation of what a secret is. And God is giving us these secrets. And based on Our Lady's explanation, which of course is our Lord's explanation, because she's only repeating and doing his will, it's when we're ready for it he can give it to us. Just like in scripture, when Jesus says, there's much more I have to tell you, but you're not yet ready. You're not yet disposed. That's incredible. So the creature, by remembering and recognizing what God has done for her, loves us as her father, which we ought to do. We should do. We are doing, hopefully, as we love her as our daughter. This brings it together. This completes it. The children have come back. We feel that our paternity is not a sterile paternity, but fecund. This reciprocal of love grows. It's not stagnant. Once we go back to that correspondence, the communication, the exchange of love, the embraces get more vibrant. They become more loving. It grows, it festers. But only when that connection is made, only when that light switch is turned on, is the electricity flowing in the device or the appliance. It can be plugged in, but if it's not turned on, it's not performing its function. Neither are we if we don't have that correspondence. I think that's what God's trying to explain to us here. But so the creature, by remembering and recognizing what God has done for her, making the rounds, using everything of creation to remember God. So the creature, by remembering and recognizing what God has done for her, loves us as her father. It completes the cycle. And we, the triune God, love her as our daughter. We're like the child that left home and realized we couldn't make it in the world without our parents. And we came crawling home and said, Mom, Dad, can you please take me back? I'm sorry. That's what God's done. That's so incredible. In the same way, with one who remembers and recognizes what I did and suffered in my life and passion, I feel myself redeemer. So again, as we listen to or read the Hours of the Passion, just for an example, which Father Annuzzi says is the quickest way to achieve penetration in the divine will, because we're actively participating with God, again, if we fused ourselves properly in the morning. So he's using the father and the child, and now using his suffering and redeemer. So the father, the redeemer. So in the same way, the one who remembers and recognizes what I did and suffered in my life and passion and his humanity, I feel myself as redeemer. And I give her to possess the goods of redemption. So again, when we recognize, we correspond, we're given. And that given anchors us in this gift as we're making our climb. So my pains, my works, my steps line up around the happy creature in order to help her. Do we all need help at this time? You betcha. We're not going to survive another day if we don't have help by our blessed Lord. Survive spiritually, or perhaps even physically. But I'm talking more spiritually. line up around the happy creature in order to help her, to sanctify her, and to make her feel within herself the effects of all my life. We're going to get to know God. And as we get to know God greater, again, those few that are going to be that closest cog to receive more intimate knowledge of God, not because we deserve to be that in that small group, but God has so destined it. The effects are being given in an aura of disposition. So remember, we talk about the efficacy. Jesus talks about the efficacy of, let's say, for example, Holy Eucharist. The power of the Eucharist never diminishes. God is full strength in essence in every host, consecrated host. But our ability to absorb, again, that's the key word here for this session, to be able to absorb, we need to be disposed, prepared, ready. And that's what God's doing. He's really doing it in a powerful way. And in a way, I think that is easy to understand. I think this analogy of the Father and of the Redeemer so far is really putting things into perspective, I think, especially for my little simple, small pea brain mind. And with one who recognizes what our love has done and can do in the order of grace, I feel myself passionate lover, and I give her the possession of my love in such a way that she will feel such love for me as to be unable to live without loving me. See the progression here? All vitally important. But from the Father to the Redeemer, to possessing God's love in such a way that she will feel such love for me as to be unable to live without loving me. We won't have to try hard to love God. We won't have to try to avoid those distractions in our minds, especially when we're trying to pray or we're before the Blessed Sacrament. We start thinking about what bills are due or what's happening tomorrow. You know, that happens to me. But God's going to crowd out all that. He's going to take that all away. My yoke is easy. He's going to make that yoke easy for us also. And then the key here, again, another key sentence or key phrase. And since true love is in always doing my will. God didn't say another true love is in always doing my will. He says, and since true love, singular, is in always doing my will, I make of her a prodigy or a phenomenon or a miracle of my love and of my will. So what struck me was that from speaking about being a father and feeling like a father, God has taken us down this route. And if you feel like I do, he hasn't pushed us. He's actually, it's like a coal-fed locomotive. The more coal you put in, the better it runs. So we're sort of gliding down this. And we're receiving an understanding. We're receiving the grace. And we're understanding a little bit more internally of this love, maybe even feeling it a bit. But God is doing all the work. We're just responding to what he said. We're just acknowledging, we're corresponding to what he's doing. And then he gives us, again, a secret. He divulges a secret. And since true love is in always doing my will, I make of her a prodigy, a phenomenon, a miracle of my love and of my will. This explains why St. Louis de Montfort said in the end we'll be the greatest saints. It's nothing that they've done here, nothing we've done here. What God has done for us. We've just corresponded. We haven't rejected what God has given us. It's all we've done. And we've grown in love for him. And he in turn shares his love with us on a divine level. That's incredible. Okay. What sorrow would it be not for a father to have children and not to see them around himself so as to love one another and enjoy the fruit of his inmost being? And if these children did not possess the goods of her father, would it not be an even greater sorrow? And God is just, he's explaining the nuclear family the way it was intended to be. Compare that to many families today. It's very sad. What sorrow would it be for a father to have children and not to see them around himself so as to love one another and enjoy the fruit of his inmost being? Again, corresponding, connecting. And if these children did not possess the goods of her father, would it not be an even greater sorrow? We work hard so that our children may be safe. When we say work hard, not just physically work. We're talking about working hard spiritually. We're talking about, you know, good Catholic education, teaching them right, wrong. We work hard. So whatever goods that we've been given by God, we can also give them to our children. I think he's going to say, such is our divinity. We extended our paternity in an infinite way in all creation as Father. Again, now he goes back up to the top again to the Father. We are all eyes over our children that they may lack nothing. This is the trust because God says, let's bring it out. In Father's dissertation on page 415, because the times that are coming could be very disturbing, to say the least. Jesus says in volume 11, May 18th, 1915, this is on page 415 of Father Ainuzzi's dissertation, quote, "The divine justice imposes chastisements, but neither these nor God's enemies will get close to those souls who live in my divine will. Know that I will have regard for the souls who live in my will and for the places where these souls reside." End quote. That's where our family resides. So even if our family's not journeying with us in this divine will, because of your work, they too will be protected. And this is in volume 11, which carries the church's imprimatur near Lobstadt. Again, we're not doing this just for the sake of being protected. We're doing it to give honor and glory and love to God and the love of God due to God, which he deserves from each and every one of us. He's watching us. He talks about spying on us. Again, not in a nefarious way. And when that last passage, living in the divine will, that doesn't necessarily mean living fully in the divine will. He didn't say that. He said living in the divine will. There are, as Father Nietzsche says, there's like a zillion levels of living the divine will. We just want to be in there and begin to make our climb. Journeying in the divine will with an ardent desire, upright intention, in the state of grace, and asking for the gift, the four requirements that Jesus gives us, qualifies as living in the divine will. Imperfectly, of course. Sometimes extremely imperfectly. But nonetheless, striving. Yeah, I understand sometimes when we introduce this gift to people that they say this is too good to be true. Because if we really didn't trust our blessed Lord, we could all say this is too good to be true. But it's not. With God, anything is possible. We're here. Did we ask to be born? Of course not. Do we ask our heart to beat, our lungs to breathe, our blood to flow? Of course not. It's all the divine will doing that. We're just corresponding, eating right, exercising, just helping to keep it flow. We're not the originator of the flow. We're sort of the maintenance, only the maintenance. Our arms feel the extreme need of love to clasp man to our bosom so as to give him love and receive love. Again, the divine will is the reciprocal of love, but it's God's love, a greater love than any human can generate. And God is giving us his love on the greatest level as a gift. And we're giving that greatest love back to God as a gift, giving it back to him on the level of him due to him. Only through the divine will is this possible. And when we see the creature running to us, wanting our embraces, oh, how happy we feel that our paternity is recognized and can carry out the office of father for all our children. This is what God wants. This is what God wants in exchange for everything he's given us. He's asking for so little, but yet so much. Oh, how happy we feel that our paternity is recognized and can carry out the office of father for our children. What a meditation that will bring. God wants to be our father more than we want to be his children. Our generation is almost innumerable, yet only a few children surround us. All others are far away from us, far with the heart, with the will, far from our likeness. Just a few of us. And God's asking for us to stand in the breach, to do for all that can't do, won't do, don't want to do, or don't know they have to do. But we know, and we know we know. And in our sorrow and seeing the few children around us, we say, and the other children, where are they? That reminds me of the lepers too, right? 10 were healed and one came back to thank our blessed Lord Jesus. Weren't there 10? Where are the other 9? By the axe and rounds, we can repair and redo. We can do for those others that did not do, cannot do, will not do, or didn't know to do. Not passing judgment on anyone. We're just going to live out our office because God has put us He's asked us to step in the breach. Again, are we going to correspond? He's going to give us all the grace. He's going to give us all the tools we need. Everything. We'll be lacking nothing, as he says. He's watching us. Whenever we run low or depleted on something, he replenishes. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally. And in our sorrow and seeing the few children around us, we say, and the other children, where are they? How can they not feel the need to have a celestial father, to receive our paternal caresses, to possess our goods? I think on the cross, Jesus answered that, worthy. Yeah. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do, what they don't do. If other people understood what we understand to a little extent, like we do, we're just so little. But if they understood even what we understand, they would be as excited as we would. So our hearts go out to those who don't experience what we are beginning to experience. But they will, remember, because every time we do an act and around, God is so elated that he showers down a dew, metaphorically, of grace to help dispose everyone to receive, understand, and embrace his gift. This is our calling. Jesus says this is the greatest office that we can ever have. There's no greater calling. Remember, our Blessed Lady said in the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom, that marriage is the trunk. The religious and the priests are the branches. Without the trunk, there'd be no branches. So, Blessed Lady. That's not minimizing the priests. But remember, Adam. We're going back to Adam and Eve. Adam had no sacraments. There was no need for them. Adam had no church. Adam didn't have the Ten Commandments or all the saints that are helping us along the way. He didn't have any of that. He didn't need it. But he made that one mistake. And because he had omniscience, because he knew the end results of his actions, he only got the one chance. God knew we would be falling and falling and falling, and that's why we have the sacrament of reconciliation. Thanks be to God for that. Therefore, be attentive. Recognize our goods in everything. Don't forget to make a round tonight. Thank you, Lord, for my beautiful bed. Even if it's not a beautiful bed, mine's not a beautiful bed, but it's a bed. Many don't have a bed. Thank you for my refrigerator. Thank you for my children. And even if our children are in need of prayer because they may be straying, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to pray even harder for them. I know you'll help them. Therefore, be attentive, recognize our goods, our works, and you will feel our paternity in the heavens. This is way beyond our expectation. This is way beyond our understanding at this time. You will feel our paternity in the heavens, studded with stars that in their meek twinkling call you daughter and attest to you. And he's speaking to us also, not just to Louise here. The love of your father. Our paternity extends in the sun that with its vibrant light calls you daughter and says to you, recognize in my light the great gift of your father. That's what God wants, to recognize him as father. Who loves you so much that he wants you to be the possessor of this light. He wants to give us everything. He didn't give Adam everything because he failed the test. He wants to give us and will give us everything. because we can't fail a test because, unlike Adam, he's giving us thousands of little quizzes to perfect us. So that the thousands of quizzes equal one test. Adam had one chance. We've been given so much more. Our paternity extends everywhere. In the water you drink, in the food you take, in the varieties of the beauties of all nature. Again, everything we do, we can make an impromptu round. Thank you, Lord, for this water. Thank you, Lord, for this microphone. Thank you, Lord, for this PC. May I use it for your glory only. They have a common voice, all calling you daughter of the great celestial father, the soul of creation doing this. And as a daughter of his, they want to be possessed by you. Now, what would be our contentment if in all things created by us, at our tender voice calling you daughter, we heard your voice calling us father? And saying to us, this is a gift of my father. Oh, how he loves me. And I want to love him very, very much. We too can repeat that. This is a gift of my father. Everything. Oh, how he loves me more than we recognize. And I want to love him very, very much. As that level increases, wanting to love him more and more, the closer that gets to becoming a reality. Because God will make it a reality if we keep chugging, so to speak. We will finally get to love God on the level of God, due to God, in the divine will. There's no greater gift that God can give to mankind. Very powerful. I went a little long, and I apologize, but we have on Sunday, actually, Mother Gabriel and the sisters are going to be in Medjugorje. They were given a free trip there. And they're going to be speaking to some youth, among other things. So they're going to be praying for us, of course. So what we did was that they wanted to tape a program because they didn't want to leave everyone with just a replay of an old program. So what we did was they're also going to miss next week's Radio Maria program. So we recorded a pre-recorded. We did this on the 13th. Yeah, we did it on Monday. We pre-recorded a Radio Maria program without Radio Maria, being with us, without, speaking to the engineers and all that. We just did it on our own. We used the timings. Anyway, so we did that. We've got the two images. We've got Italy. We've got me, and you basically see how we go back and forth and fumble around a bit on Radio Maria. So that recording that will be aired on Radio Maria on the 23rd, we're actually going to show you that. I think it'll be fun. On Sunday, it was only 55 minutes, and then we made another recording, sort of off air, and just with the sisters, pointing out some other favorite passages and giving us their personal reflections on it. So I think it's going to be great. It'll be recorded, but I'll still there be live, and we'll talk about it a bit. But that's this Sunday at 2:00. The Holy Rosary and the Adoration begins at 1 p.m. And then I don't know if I have any. Okay, I have a few other things that were later in June. I know Father Celso will be one of many speaking at the North American Shrine of the Martyrs. I think that's on between the 24th and the 26th. It's a 40-hour Eucharistic devotion. So we'll get that out in the email. I think it's also been sent out. So we're going to end with a prayer, and actually we're going to end with a supplication. We're going to take Luis's Good Morning to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, located in volume 11, as our including supplication. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, Jesus, may our will be one. One our love, one our happiness. Never leave me alone, because I am in nothing, and the nothing cannot be without the all. Will you promise me, O Jesus? It seems that you say yes. And now bless me. Please bless all. And together with the angels, the saints, and our sweet mama, and all the creatures, I will say to you, good morning, O Jesus. Good morning. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks be to God for everything, now and forever. Love everyone. See everyone on Sunday. I think it should be fun. Okay, bye, everyone.